we took a little time out, a little pause, and a lot of fanning and, you know, cold water and, you know, dusting them off and got them up. And, you know, it was a bit traumatic, you know, no harm, no foul. And, you know, what do you do? I got up and I said, you know, Courtney is his name. I said, Courtney, you know, marriage is a series of bumps on the head. You got the first one out of the way. I now pronounce you to be husband and wife. Now kiss her before something else bad happens. Do this. Grab your Bibles. I'm not going to make you turn to somebody and kiss them. Grab your Bibles and your handouts. We're gonna continue to go on this journey in which we've been going on for the last couple of weeks. The journey is this. Why? Because I've called these the greatest question and the greatest answer. The greatest question, which has been given by most toddlers and two-year-olds, and it continues on to this day. Why? The greatest answer has been given by most adults, because I just spent 2 days with five grandchildren. Why? Because most of the questions that we have deal with the mission of the church, which are simply like this. Well, why do we reach out, and why do we teach, and why is restoration, and why do we worship? And it's these things that become related to one another. And now, as we take a bit of a shift in this series, these questions are going to become a little more personal, and they're going to become something more like, you have got to discover your position on these matters. So we've gone from big, and now we're going to begin to move down to small. Okay, great. There's these great big concepts that are out there. But what about you? And it's that formulation of a question and answer that Jesus asked with Peter. And he says, okay, all these people are saying these things about me, big questions. Now, Peter, what about you? And so as these questions go from big to small, they are all related to each other. And I have the question. Why church? Why are there churches? Why are people encouraged to go to church? Now I've got a really big question for you. Get ready. I know some of you are going to answer this like that. Here we go. Can a person be a Christian and not go to church? Okay, just let that wrestle for a little while. Can a person be a Christian and not go to church? So I'm going to give you an answer, and then you're going to disagree with me, and then I'm going to preach, and then we're going to come back to an understanding. The answer is yes, with qualifiers. So here's the qualifiers. And then the other part of the answer to that is okay, why? Why would a person be a Christian and not go to church? And so all of these things, you've heard studies that say America is a Christian nation, and that somewhere between 40 and 50% of all Americans attend church. They survey them and they say, yes, I go to church. Yes, I go to church. Here's the real numbers, because the real numbers are a little less encouraging than that. The real numbers would say, well, if we were to somehow pop the lid off from every single church in America, would half of the population be found inside of church? Some of you are saying, well, I think so. And most of you are saying, no, here's the real numbers. It's less than 18%. And I don't know, you know, I don't care who makes these numbers up. I just made it up in my head just now. 17.7. Actually, percent is the latest poll that says not 40, not 50%, but less than 18% of people actually say they regularly attend church. Now, here's the part of the 17.7% who regularly say they attend church. Some of them regularly attend at Christmas. Some of them regularly attend on Easter, and they walk in and they go, hey, where'd the tree go? And they come in at Christmas and I'm like, hey, where's the bunnies and the chocolate and all that fun stuff? They don't get it, but they would say they regularly attend church. So why church? The attendance number in church could be defined by this statement. I love God, I just don't like going to church. Anybody hear that? Go ahead, raise your hand. I've heard it. Yeah. So now more people in here said, I've heard someone say, I love God, I just don't like going to church. It would be something like this. I love being married, I just don't like living there. I want to be married, I just don't want to live with him or her. I mean, they're kind of crazy, right? And some of you are like going, well, yeah, that's kind of how I define it. So we want to get better at all those things. So here's what it is. I'm going to give you some places to write. And why church? Because it implies our love for God. We come to church because it implies our love for God. The very first things I wrote in my notes is this. Notice the word imply. Because it goes something like this. Going to church no more makes you a God lover than walking into your car, into your garage, and you becoming a car. You coming to church no more makes you a God lover. It doesn't make you love God, so it implies that you love God. So there are some people who attend church for the outward appearance to say, see, I went to church, I'm a good person, I love God, but that's an implication, and the reality comes out, and we call it the fruit of the Spirit, when a person actually applies what they learn in church. And so going to church implies that you have a love for God. Now, I'm going to go through a Jesus progression, and it's going to begin in the book of Matthew chapter 15. And this is Jesus dealing with a Pharisaical attitude and someone who does not feel like they want to worship God, and although they say they love God. And Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are rules taught by men. In other words, we can say this. There are a lot of people that have grown up in church and you've learned the proper things and the proper responses. Let me illustrate for you. And all God's people said, aren't you just fine Christians? Because you've been able to speak a language that people outside the church doesn't know. God is good. All the time. You're so good. Then I just make you feel like, man, I love God. No, you've just used words that people inside church use, but that no more implies that you love God. You've just been able to speak words. Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So church becomes that. So Jesus then moves into the gathering of people. At Matthew 18, verse 20, says, where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Where two or three come together in his name. So the purpose, the gathering is something like this. When people begin to gather for the purpose of worshiping and honoring Jesus, he is there. His Spirit of God is here. So I'm going to ask, are you here to worship God? Who's here to worship God? Jesus is here with you. He says, I'm here with you. There I am with you. And where does this naturally occur? Somebody say church real quick. Thank you. It naturally occurs in a time and a space where other like-minded people have come together to worship God. Now, can you worship God elsewhere? Okay. Should you worship God elsewhere? Thank you for answering that correctly. So you guys are really good. Then the final part of this progression is this. Jesus is asked this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. And Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The first and greatest commandment, and the second is just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And so the question is, do I think a person can be a Christian and not go to church? Let me respond back to you with this. Going to church doesn't make a person any more Christian than not going to church makes a person not a Christian. If you're confused, say, "I'm confused." Okay. But church is the natural expression of those who choose to love God. And so when you choose to love God, you go, "I want to go be with His people. I want to go where at least two or three are gathered together in His name so that together we begin to worship." You are a Christian because you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's get that really clear. So those of you that said, "Oh, you can't be a Christian if you don't go to church." No, you can be a Christian if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Perfect example, the thief on the cross. He didn't have time to go to synagogue. He didn't have time to go to temple. I mean, he's hanging there. He's dying. And Jesus said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." Not after you go to church, not after you go to temple or synagogue, but today you'll be with paradise. And so this whole thing begins to revolve around this, that you come to church to worship the Lord because you desire to worship God in a space where there are other people who desire to worship God. Why church? Number two, because it's a place to use and discover your spiritual gifts. We must know, you must know, that God has created every single one of you and He's gifted every single one of you with something to use that will glorify the church, that will build the body up, that will encourage, and every single person has been given a gift. Ephesians 4:10. Excuse me, somebody say 2:10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I've used this passage of Scripture multiple times, and it just continues to emphasize the fact that you are God's workmanship. Look to your neighbor and say, "You're God's workmanship." Look to your neighbor and say, "You ain't done yet." You got some work to do. So do I. Here's how this gets played out. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him show it. Let him do it cheerfully. In other words, we all have gifts. Church is a natural place for us to come together to discover those gifts and begin to use them in a proper context for which God has given. Corinthians 12. Verse 12 and 27, the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Some people think we go to church to watch what goes on up here. And maybe what happened today was a good way that God would help demonstrate to you that sometimes what goes on up here is flawed just as much as what goes on down here. And we don't come to watch something, we come to participate in it all. And if we're just coming to watch something, then maybe we're missing out on what God has planned for you. So I'm going to ask you a question with four other questions. Are you using what God has given you as a gift? Are you using what God has given you as gifts? Here's the four. You know them from last week. Do you? Did you? Should you? Will you? So if you can say, well, God has given me gifts. I know what it is. I used to do it in 1982. Then you check the box, I did use God's gifts. But you can't check the box, I am currently using them. So let's go on. And if you are using God's given gifts to you, then continue to use them. So we'll go on. Why church? Because it allows for mutual encouragement. Mutual encouragement. I want to say this, that the response to restoration, which we've talked about over these last couple of weeks, the response to restoration is worship and encouragement. When somebody starts making a change in their life, man, come alongside them and go, dude, I'm encouraged by you. I'm encouraging you. Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Church needs to be a place where we mutually encourage those that are here. How many of you guys have got it all figured out spiritually? I mean, you got it. It's just like, dude, I got Genesis through Revelation. I'm applying it all in my life. I got it all figured out. I'm good to grow. I can't raise my hand on that one. Chaplain Bill was here. He can't raise his hand on that one. So we're here to go, we're working this out together. I'm learning together. I'm encouraged by you. I hope you're encouraged by me. And we use this as a place of mutual encouragement. Who of you have been encouraged by someone else's restoration? You've seen, and it's like, man, God came in and they've just grown. Isn't that great? You're like going, that, yay God. Those are great God stories, right? Now here's the other question. Who have you encouraged by your restoration? Big to small. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 24 and 25, let us consider how we may spur one another along toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. I love those words, let us consider, which just means this. Let us think, let's think about ways, let's be creative in ways and how we can encourage someone along the way. We've got to become incredibly creative because who would say this? Sometimes it's difficult living in this world today. In 2018, there are just things coming at you faster. There's more of them. It's difficult to be parents. It's difficult to be married. It's difficult to be single. There's just difficult things that come at you. Finances are different. Health is difficult. I mean, there's just difficult things. Let me say to you, I don't want you to become depressed by that, but I want you to know God loves you, and He's got, hey, I've got a way through, so He wants to help encourage you, and there's going to be so many ways in which we can encourage someone else. And when somebody starts missing and they're part of the 17.7% and that number starts going down, we're not called to observe, hey, Pastor Andrea, she's bailing and I don't, you know, she's just gone. We're not called to make observation. We're called to encourage them. Hey, what's going on? How can I encourage you? Here's a couple of creative ways. What if you invited them to be here with you? Oh, but that means I got to be here. Yeah. What if you said, why don't I sit with you when you come? What if you said, why don't you have lunch with me or us after service? Those are things in which we can do to encourage. But here's the thing. Do whatever you can to encourage them not to stray. You know why? Because Satan would love to see every church on this planet emptied out. He'd just love to see them all emptied out, like, ooh, I win. So I've come up with a plan. I'm going to do everything I can to irritate Satan. I just want to tick him off. That's not a real spiritual phrase, but I just want to tick him off. I just want, you don't want us to be here? Great, we'll be here. Oh, you don't want us to preach out of the Bible? Great, we'll preach out of the Bible. You don't want to sing songs about God? We'll sing more songs about God. You know, you want all of this to get us all wound up and things didn't go great? Well, great, we'll get a new battery, we'll plug it in, we'll figure it out, and we're going to worship. Tick him off. Do whatever you can. Just go, you know what? No, I am not going to bow down to that. And so here's what happens. Because other people matter, Ephesians 4:6. For from him, Christ, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You are the body of Christ, created by God to do good works. Why church? Because it helps in our mutual accountability. I really don't know about you, but does anybody really, like, really, really, really like being held accountable? Like, really, really like it? Like, you know, like, oh, I can't wait for that person to say, oh, here's the mirror. And, you know, you ate 3 donuts today and, you know, bad on you. But mutual accountability is this. It's mutual and it's accountability. We do this to mutually be accountable to one another's. Hebrews 13:17, this is going to require some explanation. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. End of story. And all God's people said, oh, wait a minute. They keep watch over you as people, as men who must give an account. This passage of scripture, it doesn't scare me, but it encourages me and it challenges me. Because I am going to be held to an account of teaching that I give to you just as much as you will be held in what do you do with what was given to you. You're not here to watch a show. It's obvious that we can't put on a very good show today. You're not here to watch a show. But you're here to be held accountable. Those words, mutual accountability, I take as pastor with all seriousness what I do. And I think about that conversation that I will have with Jesus at some point, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? And I want to make sure that my answer is, Lord, I did my best. And I'm not going to be asleep at the wheel through this. And here's the thing. Each one of us is going to be asked that very same question. What are you doing with that information that God's been given to you? Whether it's through children's church, whether it's through youth group, whether it's through adult Bible studies, small group studies, men and women studies, what are you doing with what God has given to you? And finally, why church? This is a biggie. This is where the drum roll begins, because Jesus is returning. So check this out. Anybody here those words, oh, I can worship God on the golf course. Right? Amen. John does, yeah. Yeah, that's why you went back to work. I've heard those words. Can you worship God on the golf course? Well, I hear a lot of his name being used on the golf course. Not always in a worshipful attitude. But then I began to think in these ways. Why? Why would I say those words? Well, I can go to the beach and worship God, and I can go to the mountains and worship God, and yeah, we can. But as I read my Bible, I don't ever see any place in here where he's going to say, okay, first I'm going to go to the golf course, and then I'm going to go to the beach, and then I'm going to go to the mountains to redeem those who love me. Ephesians 5, 25 and 20 through 27, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The church, the collective body of believers, is who God, through Jesus, is coming back to redeem. Now, I've heard of closet Christians. You know, they're like keeping it secret. I don't think he's going to check in the closets to see who's the believers. It's the people that are right here. It's the people that are right here. How many of you would go, well, this is a weird message because we're here. Doesn't it feel like I'm just been preaching to the choir? And some of you go, what's a choir? And then some of you go, oh, we should have choirs. And then you go, oh, we should sing out of the hymnal. Focus. If this feels like you've been preaching to the choir, it's because you are here. And it's because you need to hear this message. But as you hear this message, don't give Satan the satisfaction of damaging the church. Say, no, this is God's place. This is where God's people reside. And this is the place where God's sending his son Jesus to say, I'm coming back, and I can't wait to redeem you. Big bold print in my notes. Because the church matters to God. You matter to God. As you're standing up, turn to somebody and say, you matter to God. Lord, be with us today as we head out, and we pray your blessing on our day and our afternoon, and we love you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.